Okay, everyone, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. I know I did. Welcome to this week's Superhero Deep Dive. I am your host, Jason, and as always, I have to get my normal disclaimers out. Now, the information pulled for this week's episode is pulled from different sources across the internet and may or may not be completely complete, but they do give a really good insight on the current superhero. All right. And with that being said, if anyone has any questions, comments, critiques, requests for future episodes, which in fact this one was, or anything like that, and any other fun facts, any ideas for stuff, like for directions of heroes that we talked about, feel free to comment on my Twitter or Twitch or Instagram under Super Deep Dive and use the hashtag Superhero Deep Dive. You can also catch me on YouTube, and if you're watching this, hello! Please like, comment, subscribe, share, all that good stuff, because I respond to everything I can, as much as I can, even if it's just a like from me, for your comment. You know, I do try to do this, and keep interacting with everyone. Let's see, what else is there? Oh, if you also want to email me, you can email me directly at b4itall@yahoo.com. And what else is there to cover with this? Oh yes, if it is a Tuesday or a Thursday, you can catch me throughout the day streaming on Outworld Fleet Radio, and their website is www.un-con-ventional.com/radio. So yes. Alright, so I got a request in a couple weeks ago for or to cover a hero called Static or Static Shock. Everyone probably remembers this from the little CW cartoon back in the day. Back in the, believe it was the 90s, early 2000s. That was pretty successful. I personally love Static. Now, Static was made to represent African-American heroes or put an African-American influence. So, you know, I didn't feel I was necessarily qualified to talk about Static because I am, in fact, not an African-American. But with that being said, let me give you some background into my history to where it may give a little bit more credibility. I am actually a quarter Japanese. I grew up in a what would be considered a mixed race household, in the fact that my father is Caucasian, my mom is half white, half Japanese. So we had always dealt with that. Now where I grew up, the town itself is pretty much 50-50 black and white. I mean, it's pretty cut down the middle. So we had a good amount of influence on both sides. When I was growing up, I was cool with everyone. So that really wasn't an issue for me. But while I was growing up, I would spend a lot of time at my grandmother's, who is Japanese. And the neighborhood she grew up in was like 97% African American. It was considered kind of a lower income area, you know, and that's where my mom grew up in, you know, same neighborhood and stuff. So I have been exposed to a lot of that growing up. I've also been exposed to a lot of anti-Asian rhetoric because I didn't look Asian at all. So, you know, people would say things and then I would let them know that I was part Japanese, and then, you know, stuff would either get retracted or, you know, it was what it was at that time. So I've seen it. I've seen it. I've covered it. Even though I'm only a quarter Japanese, you know, it was still enough for college scholarships. I got offered a scholarship one time because I was considered other. Which was really funny, but, you know, so, I digress, but I wanted to kind of give you guys a background. So I am from a diverse background. I do have an understanding of what minorities deal with from time to time, and things like that. So I feel like I can talk about this, especially in an inspiring way, because I have always found Static to be an inspiring hero. So let's get into it. His real name is Virgil Hawkins, and he's an African-American teenager. Static was a key character of Milestone Comics, which was an independently owned imprint of DC Comics, so an independently owned subset, founded with the purpose of greater representation for minority heroes. Originally developed for Marvel Comics, Static would become a main staple in the Milestone line. When initially creating the first five characters for Milestone Comics, it was decided that Static would be a teenage hero, similar to Marvel Spider-Man. Static's civilian identity, Virgil Hawkins, was named after Virgil D. Hawkins, who is a black man who was denied entrance to the University of Florida's law school due to his race in 1949. The character's superhero identity was suggested by Christopher Priest, who co-developed the original Milestone Bible with the original creator, McDuffie, inspired by the song Static by James Brown. So there's a lot of backstory just into developing the character. The character was introduced as one of the first four titles of comic books published by Milestone. Virgil Hawkins was 15 years old when he became Static, and in the comics, Virgil's family consists of his father, Robert, who works at a Paris Island hospital, his mother, Jean, and his sister, Sharon. Virgil attends Ernest Hemingway High School in the city of Dakota with his friends Frida Gorin, Richard Rick Stone, Larry Wade, Chuck Felix, and Daisy Watkins. In the guise of Static, Virgil eventually rescues Rick Stone from danger. Not unlike Spider-Man, the character has a propensity for witty banter and humor, especially when engaged with opponents. In addition, Virgil utilizes his knowledge of science and pop culture in various battles and scenarios as Static. So the creator, McDuffie, described the character like this, which I like. Like any awkward 15-year-old, like any other awkward 15-year-old, Virgil Hawkins worries about pocket money, getting beaten up, and drugs. But recently, he's had even more on his mind. Stuff like powers, secret identity, and also drugs. Because when innocents are in danger, and Virgil can slip away from class, the geeky youth becomes Static, the dashing, adventurous superhero. And in the comics, he was voiced by Phil LaMarr, who is also known as the accountant in Futurama. He's been on Mad TV. He's an icon in the geek world. But during the DC fandom, according to Phil LaMarr, who voiced Static in the Static Shock series on the animated series, Virgil is what I always wanted as a comic book kid growing up. He's a black Spider-Man. A good comic book story can make you live it, feel it, and when it does, it resonates on a whole other level. It was so real world, and a textured story removed from the 1930s, we are exhibiting the world. I felt like it was drawn by someone who lived in a building I could go into. It touched on archetypes as a comic fan that I loved, but also touched on my life as a black man in the real world. So I thought that was really cool, and I had to include that in. You know, he was depicted as this kid that had struggles. And not just, you know, and it wasn't just being a black kid that he had struggles. He had everyday struggles that every person could relate to, but also the fact that he was black made him more relatable to a minority group that could really get into comics and really escape from the pressures of everyday life. So, a self-professed geek, Virgil is portrayed as an avid comic book and video game fan, something that was retained for his animated incarnation. In the comics, Virgil regularly visits the local comic store. I always say comic shop, so comic store. In addition to creating fan comics with his friends and participates in HeroClix style and other tabletop role-playing games. So he was deep in the geekdom. In addition, he has been shown to be an avid video gamer and at several points in both the series and in Teen Titans. In the 2001 miniseries Static Shot Rebirth of the Cool, it is shown that at that point in time, Virgil isn't collecting Pokemon cards and he likes Pikachu, which is the flagship Pokemon of the franchise, and also an electric Pokemon, so why not, right? In an interview, former Teen Titans writer Geoff Johns expressed interest in having Static as part of the team, stating, "I really wanted Static on the team, but there's so much red tape that at every time I requested it, DC said not yet, and so I never got to have him." And later stating he had plans for the character since Teen Titans number 1, which was volume 3 at the time, any obstructions were eventually resolved and Static appeared in the Terror Titans, and with his milestone continue folded into the mainstream New Earth continuity. And at the San Diego Comic-Con in 2008, it was announced that Static would be joining the mainstream DC Universe, where he would be added to the Teen Titans. Static made his first canon appearance in Terror Titans number 4, battling Rose Wilson in the final round of the Darkseid Club tournament. So he's getting into mainstream, which is awesome. In June 2010, DC Comics announced that Static would be receiving his own series in 2011. However, the series was canceled before the first issue could be released, following the death of Static's creator, Dwayne McDuffie. However, a very limited one-shot titled Static Shock Special, try saying that 5 times fast, one-shot titled Static Shock Special, was released in June of 2011. A new series featuring Static Shock, called Static Shock, was launched in September of 2011 as part of DC's relaunch after the Flashpoint event. As part of an effort to better integrate Static into the mainstream DC universe, the title takes place in New York City rather than Dakota. So, that's good. They're doing steps to bring him where he needs to be. Virgil Hawkins, doused with an experimental chemical in a gang war he was caught up in, high school student Virgil Ovid Hawkins gains a variety of electromagnetic powers and becomes a costumed crusader against crime. Like most teenage heroes in the Spider-Man mold, he is often overwhelmed by the combined responsibilities of his career as a superhero and typical adolescent problems. I like that. I like that formula. It's a good formula. Don't deviate from it. Stick with it. At least for the most part. A resident of the city of Dakota, Virgil first gained his electromagnetic powers at a huge showdown between the gangs of the city when he hoped to get revenge on a gang member who had been bullying him. The authorities arrive and release tear gas with what they believe to be a harmless radioactive marker so that any gang members would not escape arrest. The cops do not know that the marker had been further spiked with an experimental mutagen called Quantum Juice, or Q-Juice. And this event ultimately became known to be the so-called Big Bang. Those who were exposed came to be referred to as Bang Babies because the Big Bang was their metahuman birth. When the agency behind the experiment tried to capture him, he fights back, discovering that he has gained the ability to generate, manipulate, and control electromagnetism. Virgil names himself Static, and armed with his wits and powers, becomes a superhero. For the most part, Virgil keeps a secret from his family, but his friend Freda Gorn learns his identity when he attempts to protect her from becoming a prize at a small skirmish between gangs. So I like this. He kept it. He kept like his superheroism small, like kind of like a street level hero, which is good because it helped protect his identity as well. Virgil is aided by friends Rick Stone and Larry Wade. He shows a romantic interest in his friend and confidant Freda Gorin, but she is involved with Larry Wade. He dates a girl named Daisy Watkins, but his responsibilities as Static interfere with their dates too many times, and Davey calls off their relationship. In Static Shock Rebirth of the Cool, Virgil is involved with a girl named Madison, but Freda ends up fighting with her over him. Static confronts numerous Bang Babies and other superpowered adversaries like Hot Streak, Tarmac, Holocaust, Commando X, Puff, Coil, Snake Fingers, Rift, The Swarm, Dr. Kilgore, Rubber Band Man, Rat-a-tat-tat. Oh, no, not Rat-a-tat-tat, Brat-a-tat-tat, because there's a difference. Prometheus, Run, Jump and Burn, Boombox, Power Fist, Laser Jet, etc. Other Bang babies that Static has encountered include Virus, Destruct, and Hyacinth. In the build-up to the final crisis, the cosmic tyrant Darkseid hires the Terror Titans to capture Static, along with a number of other Bang babies in Dakota, for use in the metahuman death matches in the Darkseid Club. During his tenure in captivity, Virgil is subjected to the anti-life equation and becomes entered into the tournaments, where he presumably kills a number of combatants. He quickly becomes a champion and reigns undefeated for a time, though in the end he proves hard to control. To Clock King's displeasure, he has to be restricted to the lower levels, where he is kept locked up and heavily sedated. In an attempt to entice Rose Wilson and make a profit, Clock King releases Static and sets him against Rose in the ring. In the ring, the two have an intense fight where Static's lightning-fast attacks are able to injure Rose, even despite her precognition. After a drawn-out fight, Static emerges the winner, but briefly breaks free of control before being sedated once more. Static is eventually freed by Rose, albeit off-panel, and takes his revenge against his former captors, electrocuting Lashina and her cohorts as they try to escape. He also briefly duels with fellow electricity wielder Dreadbolt, defeating and binding him in metal along with the other Terror Titans. In his final appearance, he's seen joining up with Miss Martian and Aquagirl planning their next move. So, wow. They brought him in and had him in the DC Universe as kind of like a tournament winner. So that's pretty cool in itself. Like, you know, that's a cool way to introduce him into the main universe. After the crisis had ended, Static and the other Darkseid Club members arrive at Titan's Tower in order to rest. Wonder Girl, the current leader of the team, offers all of the young heroes spots on the team roster. Most of them, including Terra and Zachary Zatara, decline. While exploring the tower, Virgil strikes up a chemistry with Aquagirl, a teenage superheroine who was briefly a member of the team during the 52-week saga. During a conversation with Virgil, she claims that she enjoyed her time with the team and wishes to join up again, which is a statement that influences his decision to do the same. He also playfully insults Kid Devil and Jaime Reyes after they attempt to talk to him, mocking Kid Devil over his recent loss of his abilities. He claims that he was abducted by the Terror Titans months beforehand and realizes that his family must believe him to be dead. And believing that he has no place to go for the time being, Static decides to become a Titan and live at the tower until he can get his life together. Which makes sense. You know, I mean, all of these things, they make sense. When Kray's former Titan Jericho, who had taken over Cyborg's body at the time, takes control of the tower and insists him in an attempt to kill the team, Static thwarts him by releasing a high-energy charge, overloading the entire tower as well as Cyborg's body, and saving the rest of the team in the process. During a trip to the piers in order to relax, the Titans face off with the supervillain team known as the Fearsome Five, and they kidnap Wonder Girl and hold her hostage on Alcatraz Island. In the ensuing battle, Static defeats the villain known as Rumble by tricking him into moving into a pool of water, thus amplifying the effects of his electric attacks. In the aftermath of the battle, Virgil attends Kid Devil's funeral after he is killed, saving the city from a nuclear explosion. When former Teen Titan Raven shows up at Titan's Tower, injured and unconscious, Static assists the Justice Society of America member, Dr. Midnight, in helping treat her, using his abilities to sedate Raven when a demon emerges from her body. Virgil finally decides to see his family again after learning that a deadly virus had been infecting citizens of Dakota, including Sharon. And after returning home, Virgil reunites with his family as well as Frida, who learns that his girlfriend Madison has left him during his absence. He discovers that whoever created the virus is also selling limited supplies of the vaccine and attacks the lab where it's being made. Upon breaking into the facility, Static is surprised and knocked out by Holocaust. Okay. So, after refusing to help Holocaust in his pursuit, Static is imprisoned in a specialized containment unit alongside Aquagirl, Wonder Girl, and Bombshell. Holocaust informs the heroes that he plans to kill them and weaponize their abilities in order to sell them. but is ambushed by the rest of the Titans before this can happen. Holocaust easily defeats him, only to be confronted by Cyborg, who has recruited former Titans member Kid Flash and Superboy. The three are able to hold off Holocaust long enough for Virgil and the others to escape, and ultimately the combined might of all 10 Teen Titans is enough to defeat the villain once and for all. After this, Virgil reconciles with Frida and tells her that he has tricked his family into believing that he has taken part in a lengthy quantum physics fellowship, thus giving him an excuse to live in San Francisco with the rest of the Titans. He also makes one last attempt to win back Madison, but she silently rejects him. After this, Virgil and the other Titans decide to head home, now with Superboy and Kid Flash as members again. Alright, so there's a whole lot happening with this. But, you know, if you notice, he's always had important parts, like, in these battles. He's always played important roles in helping to keep Raven sedated, to keep the demon at bay, you know, stuff like that. Like, you know, he's always played key parts, but he's never actually had the main role, I guess, or the main spot. So after a mission to another dimension to rescue Raven, Virgil returns home to find that he no longer has his powers. Furious and scared over his situation, as well as his inability to help Miss Martian awaken from her coma, Virgil attempts to leave the tower and return to Dakota. He is stopped by Cyborg, who tells Virgil that he will be of no help to anyone back home without his abilities, and tells him that he has arranged for Virgil to be taken to Cadmus Labs to find a way to get his powers back. Superboy offers to travel to Cadmus in order to support his friend, but Virgil tells him that the Titans need him now. Following a farewell breakfast, Static leaves for Cadmus, with Wonder Girl assuring him that he will always have a place on the team. And during the events of Flashpoint, Barry Allen accidentally alters history after a battle with Professor Zoom, and in the newly created reality, Static is shown back in costume with his powers restored. So something happened, we don't know what, it wasn't really touched on, it just shows that he is back in action, which is the important part. So what do you guys think of his history? Like, it's pretty awesome. They have a lot done. They have done a lot to him. So, you know, it's pretty cool. Powers. Static's powers allow him to control electromagnetic phenomena. In particular, allowing him to manipulate both electrical and magnetic energy. Static's powers are best described as a superconductor electromagnetism. Static's powers center around electromagnetism, making him part of the Earth's electromagnetic field, as well as capable of generating and storing his own electromagnetic energy. He can choose to keep the electromagnetic energy that he currently holds in his body by controlling the current and voltage for whenever he wants to use it. Static's body can also generate raw electromagnetic energy, which he can control at will for various purposes. Such uses commonly include magnetizing objects, electrocuting opponents, levitating objects such as the manhole covers or a self-built metal saucer for use in flight, and people, restraining or adhering people or objects to various surfaces in the form of static cling. He can generate taser punches and kicks, with effects similar to a stun gun, and at times enough power to send opponents flying during close combat. He once even punching a huge bang baby made out of molten magma through a brick wall. Various electromagnetic displays, as well as electromagnetic nets or cages, blinding flashes, generating ball lightning, producing electromagnetic pulses, and generating force fields to shield himself from attacks, even stopping bullets in midair. In the comic book series, Static has displayed the ability to manipulate subatomic particles, in particular electrons, and in at least one instance, he has used his ability as an offensive attack to easily knock out a villain with the villain's own electrons, and in another instance, making an intangible enemy tangible. He can also electrocute nearby enemies. As well as releasing surges of electromagnetic energy, which he can do from any part of his body, Static can also drain sources of electricity, such as power lines, batteries, and fuse boxes, to recharge his own energy supply. He has also displayed the ability to regenerate his powers after being completely drained by energy-draining villains, and whenever Static has used his powers to a high degree or experienced any other such large energy drain, he will also experience a sudden acute sense of fatigue as his electromagnetic powers are tied to his own bioelectric energy levels. In the episode Aftershock, in the first season of the animated series, an analysis of his blood shows that Static's electrolytes and blood salt levels are higher than normal, highlighting that Static needs higher blood salt levels to support the use of his powers, but the higher sodium levels seem to have no effect on his health. That's awesome. That's really cool because I remember in, you know, when I was going into like some of the medical classes for my job, that African Americans in general have a are subject to like high salt content in their blood, like higher sodium levels and heart problems as a result. So if this doesn't have any effect on them, that's a really cool way, whether it was intentional or not, to tie that in with his African American heritage and kind of getting rid of that genetic marker. So kudos for that. Whether it was intentional or not, it was awesome that it happened. Static can also sense and feel out sources of electromagnetic energy, able to tell if a seemingly abandoned area is actually hot or not. Static can use his own powers to hear radio waves and tap into phone lines, including listening in on the police broadband and music stations, as well as making calls, and is also able to use his power to mimic the uses of electronic devices such as a CD player, which he also called himself a human CD player, and he's even got surround sound, and is even able to use his powers to use an ordinary trash can cover simultaneously as a shotgun microphone or a loudspeaker. It is notable that Static has more of a distinctive advantage in cities than anywhere else, as shown in the events of Aftershock, as even in a park surrounded by trees, Static could make use of the metal pipelines under the ground with his magnetic powers. In both the animated series and the comic book, he is shown using his powers to mimic that of a blowtorch, allowing him to cut and weld metal together. In the animated series, Static's powers grant him resistance or immunity to forms of mind control, since the human brain is an electromagnetic organ. In Attack of the Living Brain Puppets, Static is immune to Madeline Spaulding's ability to hear the thoughts of others and exert control over their actions. Static's greater bioelectric field shields him from his brain waves, from any attempts at reading his mind and asserting control over him, as also seen in the second part of A League of Their Own, when one of Brainiac's mind-controlling devices shorts out shortly after being placed on Static. This trait has also been adapted into the comic book mythos, where within the comics, fellow teammate Miss Martian has even been unable to track his whereabouts telepathically. And in Terror Titan, Static is shown to have resistance to Darkseid anti-life equation, coming back to his senses. That's cool. What an interesting way to look at it, because the brain is just, an electromagnetic organ. So, what a cool way to be like, yeah, he's immune to all this because of that. So, very nice. Very, very nice. I like those little touches. Static has repeatedly displayed the ability to absorb and alter energy from enemy attacks and redirect the energy back at them. In Teen Titans, he's even absorbed kryptonite radiation from a poisoned Superboy and redirected it back at an enemy. So, following the events of Flashpoint, Static is given a new flying disc that now contains a holographic interface and is capable of collapsing into separate pieces or reconfiguring into various forms for various uses and applications. In addition to allowing Static to remain in contact with hardware, who is another hero, the disc also displays charts and other information relevant to the mission on hand. Static has also begun using a three-piece detachable bow staff, both activated and used in conjunction with his powers for in-close range fighting. Static's body has been shown to automatically heal himself, even from what would otherwise be lethal wounds, when drawing in large amounts of energy from a nearby energy source. And Tim Drake has also stated that Virgil's understanding of molecular structure rivals the Flash's. So that's pretty awesome. And Virgil Hawkins is a highly gifted student with a particular interest in the sciences. He is a talented inventor and a natural strategist. And Virgil also possesses an almost fanboyish knowledge of comic books, role-playing games, pop culture, and science fiction. That's cool, because they're showing that this kid has a passion for these things and his creativity that stems from reading these, reading comic books, playing these role-playing games and things. You know, it feeds the imagination. And what that does is that makes it possible for him to expand his power set, because he understands things a little bit more and he has that creativity to try different things. So I love it. I absolutely love this character. Weaknesses. Static's primary weaknesses are insulators, as his powers have little to no effect on them, as shown with his battle with Rubber Band Man. Wood seems to be the one he has the most difficulty with, as it cannot be electromagnetically manipulated, levitated, or damaged. In the animated series, he has a vulnerability to water, which, as water is a conductor of electricity, if he gets taken and drenched by surprise, it shorts out his powers until he can dry off and replenish them. However, he can fly in the rain without short-circuiting. His weakness only applies in the animated series, as Static has never shown a weakness to water in the comics, and has even used it to his advantage, which I agree with. Maybe what they can do is kind of merge the two. Maybe if he's wet, it doesn't necessarily hurt him, but if he gets like drenched with something, like, you know, if someone takes a big bucket of water, or if he gets like thrown in a pool or something, like just the large amount of water may short out his powers because he can't adapt to it. But rain, you know, he can get wet, but he can still adapt to that because it's almost a gradual thing. So maybe that's how they can kind of cure that. Let's see, in the animated series, Virgil did use his powers a few times for advantages, like the water Bang Baby Aquamaria, as he blasted the wet floor full of electricity, knocking a few of his enemies back, and he has also hit the ocean to stop boats. So, you know, they try to figure out what they can, but we also have to remember that animated series is made for kids, and we can only go so far with that. Fun facts. You've probably seen the cartoon, you've seen cameos in various DC animated movies, you've seen video games that have them in it. I'm really not going to go into more than that. He's been around. He should be around more. But the stuff that he's been in has always been kind of a secondary thing. Aside from the, you know, his own series. But I feel like they could have done more with it. So, you know, unfortunately for the fun facts, I was a little disappointed in it. But what do you guys think so far? I've gone over his powers, his weaknesses, his history. What do you guys think? Is he as awesome of a character to you as he is to me? Let me know. Let me know in the comments. Let me know on Twitter, Twitch, or Instagram. And if you do follow me on Instagram, Twitter, under Super Deep Dive, I do post superhero memes throughout the week, sometimes more than others. It really just depends on what my work schedule looks like, to be honest with you, and how distracted I may or may not be. But it is a lot of fun, and I do enjoy getting feedback from people. But let's go into my favorite part. This is a power expansion series. This is where I go in and I go, like, do they need an animated series? Do they need a comic book series? Do they not need a comic book series but need a storyline? Do they need a movie? Do they need a live action series? Like, stuff like that. If we do cast them into a live action series or movie, who would be that person that we would cast? Stuff like that. Like, you know, this is my favorite part, because I love expanding on the characters. So I don't think I'm alone in this, but Static should have been what Miles Morales is turning into. And hear me out on this. Static should have been the face of a new generation of superheroes. Just like how Miles Morales is turning into that through Enter the Spider-Verse. You know, they did a great story, but really, that should have been Static. That should have been Static, in my opinion. And it's nothing against Miles Morales. It's just that Static was there first. Should have been him. But I think that if DC Comics gets off their butts, he still can be the face of a new generation. And look, we all know Superman and Batman. We're all familiar with Wonder Woman, Aquaman and Flash, and Green Arrow. We all know these guys. We've seen the movies. We've seen the shows. You know, there's a lot of established heroes that we know. And with Static, we have a ton of people that are in their late 20s, all the way to their late 30s even, out there that know about Static. So here's what we do. Let's take that demographic, that 20 to 30 range, and market Static to them now. Let's have him be in his early 20s and go from there. In comics, make him a mainstream hero. Give him struggles in life, like balancing rent money and hero work, social life responsibilities, and let's even throw current events in it. Now, don't get me wrong. Current events are a weird thing because they can be very politicized. But there are ways to take a stand with racial issues and social issues without getting too political. We've seen where things are getting worse. Either people are going like too far right or too far left. And we've seen that with various comic book properties. We've seen it with, in the live action series. We've seen it on both sides. We've seen it in Marvel and in DC. We've seen it in the independent stuff. We've seen them take very, very hard stances. And what it does is it creates a backlash. Like that ends up alienating fans, and it can hurt the hero overall. So let's address things from a middle-of-the-road stance, and we can have someone standing up for justice without compromising the character in the process. If we look at the news, and I'm not going to get into it, you know, unfortunately, because it's just not my place. It's not my place. My opinions are my own. But I can't keep them middle of the road. We have the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. And we also have the, the other one. And it's, I'm sorry, his name was hard to pronounce to me. So, and I wasn't prepared for this. This isn't in my notes. So I'm just, I don't have the name. I'm looking it up right now. Let's see, I think it was a murder trial. The Ahmaud Arbery case. So we have the Kyle Rittenhouse case and the Ahmaud Arbery case. On the outside, they seem very similar, but they're very different, nuanced things on the inside. So we can definitely take middle-of-the-road stances based on the evidence there. Not based on how it made us feel, because that's where it gets really dangerous. And when I say dangerous, I mean alienating fans and hurting the comic property in general. But there are ways to do this. So let's address things from a middle of the road stance, like I said, so we don't have to compromise. But with doing this, he can appeal to that generation that grew up watching his cartoons, so that late 20s, late 30s, you know, range. And they will in turn pass that hero onto their children. By telling them stories, by reading the books together, by giving backgrounds of what they remember. And like, oh man, I remember this character. Let me tell you about him. And then they get their kids into it. This will give the this will ultimately set up for a live-action TV series and give the representation that is direly needed and propel the hero to be a mainstay in the DC universe. So I was thinking, we have series like Black Lightning in there that do represent, or that do have like minority characters. And I really love the Black Lightning series, don't get me wrong. But the hero is older, and he has a family, and he's got a career. And a lot of what they reference in the show, it's a lot of racial justice, which I get. But there's a whole lot of reminiscing back in the 70s when he was the original Black Lightning and stuff. So people remember him, and they remember the legend is back and stuff. So he's a throwback character, ultimately. You know, like if you look at him. And if you look at that, he's a throwback character. So essentially, you know, his children grow up to be heroes, but the main focus is still on Black Lightning. It's still focused on being a throwback hero. Let's give the whole focus to Static. Let's get him going and let him be the new face of DC. And the character is definitely important enough, and the social climate would support it without question. I mean, let's look at the facts here. And this is a kid that he was a comic book geek. He was a sci-fi geek in every sense of the word. He wanted revenge on people bullying him. So he was involved in a gang skirmish. He probably wasn't with the gang specifically. He just wanted to stand up for himself and saw an opportunity against the people that were bullying him. Okay, the police come in. And innocently enough, you know, like they throw tear gas, which is fine. That's normal. But they use an experimental radioactive marker, which they were under the influence of it being okay and harmless, because they wanted to get gang violence off the street. So the police are actually being victimized and manipulated to a certain extent. You know, they're not fully innocent, but to a certain extent. And the radiation marker actually causes metahuman changes. So he's affected by that because he wanted to stand up for himself against people bullying him. He just did it in the wrong way. You know, that's something that we can relate to. So let's have him be in. So it's, you know, very reminiscent of like the Tuskegee experiments, what the whole premise of the Black Lightning TV series was about, where they gave kids a vaccine or something, and it ended up giving some of them powers. You know, like, the social climate would support this. The character is important enough. The social climate would support it without question to me. Like, without question. Because we're seeing it all over. So, you know, like, let's take this African-American kid. Like, boost up his age a little bit. You know, he gets his powers. Now he's trying to do stuff on his own. He's trying to do the right thing because he grew up in sci-fi. He grew up where right is right, wrong is wrong. Good is good, bad is bad. So he's trying to do the right thing, but he's also got to make rent. He's got to pay for his apartment. He's got friends. He's got a social life. He's got to try to maintain. He's got all these things. He's seeing stuff going on around him. Where there is social injustice, where there is actual things getting misconstrued by the media, even, you know, where, I'm sorry, there have been times where the media itself has been proven wrong, and the people they made villains of have been right in what they said beforehand. I'm not saying that's happening in every situation, but I'm saying that there have been situations where it's been shown. So he's got to balance all of that stuff. What if people start protesting against him for trying to do the right thing? You know, where does he stand with that? Does he back off a bit? Does he have to take certain precautions in certain areas? Like, what do you have to do? There's so many stories that can be told from this. But who would we cast for something like this? Like, I'm going to finish it up here because it's been a while. But who to cast? I'm going with Stranger Things star Caleb McLaughlin. He's got experience with the Stranger Things show. You know, he's got a good look. He is born in October of 2001. So at the time of this recording, he's only 20 years old, which puts him in that prime age category to play the role long term. Honestly, we need to give representation not only for minority characters or minority groups, but let's give that representation for a whole generation that they relate to. I loved the Luke Cage series, and I loved the Black Lightning series. They're some of my favorite series in the live-action comic book world. But let's be honest, they're kind of outdated. You know, we're seeing struggles, and we're seeing struggles that we can relate to. But I'm also 41 years old. I don't know if my children can watch this and see struggles that they can relate to. They see struggles that adults relate to. Do they see struggles that those people that are coming of age relate to? I don't think they do, and I think we need to be more real with it. What do you guys think? Let me know. Like I said, my Twitch, Twitter, and Instagram username is SuperDeepDive, and use the hashtag SuperHeroDeepDive. I'm always open for comments, always open for, like if you send me a direct message, I'm open for that. I love to hear from you guys. Also, on Twitch, or on Twitter and Instagram, I post superhero memes throughout the week. So check it out. They're a lot of fun. I hope you'll get a good laugh at it. Let's see what else. If you're watching on YouTube, comment, like, subscribe, share, all that good stuff. Let's make this an actual viable channel. If you're listening wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, welcome. Thank you. Keep subscribing. Keep listening. I love doing this, and I want to keep going with it. And yeah, guys, send me ideas. If you have requests for future episodes, comment, like, subscribe, share, request episodes. I will cover this. This one was done as a request from a listener who made a comment on a YouTube video. So I made sure to schedule it in. I had a couple already planned, and I put it as soon as I could on the list. But yeah, I want to talk about what you guys want to talk about. So let's do it, and let's do it together. In the meantime, guys, I will talk to you later. I will see you in a week. Everyone, please be blessed. Be happy. Be safe. Be smart. And if you're not smart, don't get caught. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.